a report to King Artaxerxes about what has happened in Jerusalem. And in doing so, he understands and he realizes, yes, the walls have been built. The walls of Jerusalem have been rebuilt, but we are still in a very fragile place. And so the Bible says that as he's getting ready to go, by the way, think about this. Nehemiah, even though it only took 52 days, think about everything Nehemiah has gone through to get this wall rebuilt. Now, we're not going to go back, and we can't go back tonight for sake of time and rehash, but think about all of the conspiracy. If you know anything about the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah goes back to rebuild, by the way, let's just go back real quickly and just look at one example. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 2. When Nehemiah comes back to rebuild the walls, let me ask us this question. Is everyone in favor of that? No. They're not in favor of the Jews rebuilding anything. The Jews have been dispersed. They've been in Babylon for 70 years. Now they're coming back. Not everybody is happy about that. Look at verse number 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, notice this, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And by the way, these individuals, Sanballat and Tobiah, they're going to give Nehemiah, they're going to give him a hard time the entire time he's trying to rebuild this wall. And so look, Nehemiah has given much of himself to rebuild these walls. He's getting ready to leave. Getting ready to go back. Are you just going to hand over the guardianship to what you have just completed to just anybody? Absolutely not. The time, the effort, the energy that Nehemiah has spent with his people rebuilding these walls, you think he's going to turn that over to anybody? The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter number 7, he turns it over to an individual who he had full confidence in. And that's the simple question, and I mentioned it just a moment ago. We need to ask ourselves tonight, could someone say that about us? I have full confidence in you. This is a prized possession of mine. I have full confidence that you're going to take care of it. I have full confidence that you're going to watch over it just like I would. Could people say that about us? And tonight, just real briefly, I want to show us two reasons, and we could maybe pick out more than this, but in these verses, in verses 1 through 4, I want to show us two reasons why Nehemiah had full confidence in Hanani. And so let's look tonight. Let me give you these two tonight, and hopefully that it'll be an encouragement to us. Let me give you number one. Nehemiah had full confidence in Hanani. He was going back to Babylon. He needed someone to watch over the city, and he had full confidence in him, first of all, because he was fearful in his walk. And by the way, we could say that about both of these individuals tonight. We're primarily just fixing our attention on Hanani, but there are two individuals he's turning this over to. Hanani and Hananiah. Verse number 2 says, the ruler of the palace. He had full confidence, first of all, tonight, because he was fearful. Hanani was fearful in his walk. The way that he lived, the way that he carried himself every day, his conduct every day. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 2. He says that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? It's a pretty important city, isn't it? By the way, this is the city of God. This is the city that David ruled from. This is Zion, if you will. This is a pretty important place. He says, I gave them charge over Jerusalem. Why? For he was a faithful man. We'll get to that in just a moment. And feared God above many. And feared God above many. The Bible tells us over and over and over again. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And again, we talk about this often, and so I hope we understand this. We ought to have this in our minds. When it speaks about the fear of the Lord, it's not a fear that we're cowering in the corner. It's a fear, it's the idea of reverence. It's the idea of holy reverence because of who He is. Yes, because of what He does. Yes, because He does judge sin. And yes, when I do get out of line, I should fear Him tremendously. But even when I am in line, I ought to fear Him. You know, if you look through the Scriptures, many times the idea of fear and love are almost one and the same. That which I love, I ought to fear. I love my wife. Now, I don't fear her in the respect that I sleep with one eye open. That makes sense? I don't fear her in that way. Now, some of you men might fear your wives that way. I don't. Maybe I should, but I don't. I don't fear her in that way, but here is what I do fear. And maybe this will help us to understand the fear that we ought to have for God, and more specifically, the reverence that we ought to have for God, for who He is. He's, as we sang, hey, we're children of the King. We're a child of His love, the song says. And so there ought to be a reverence there. There ought to be a fear there. And the Bible says here in verse 2, He feared God above many. I don't fear my wife and that I fear she's going to do some harm to me. Just like, here's the thing, I don't fear God that way. But here's what I do fear when it comes to my wife. I fear that I would ever, that I could do something in my life that would cause her to be disappointed in me. I do fear that I could ever have an action in my life that could cause her to look at me and say, I wish I had never married you. I do fear that. And that's the same type of fear that we ought to have toward God. It's reverence. It's reverence for His position. It's reverence for who He is. I don't fear her doing harm to me, but I fear her in the sense of her position and the reverence that I have for her. I never want to do anything that's going to hurt her. Ever. I never want to do anything that she's going to look at me and shake her head like, I'm disappointed. I don't ever want to do that. And that's the kind of reverence that we ought to have for God. Now, yes, as I said a moment ago, yes, we ought to fear Him because He, look, the Bible says if we ought to fear anybody, it ought to be God. Because God is the one that can condemn us to hell, the Bible tells us. We ought to fear that. But so many times in the Scriptures, the idea of fear is the reverence that we have for God. And someone that I say I love, I ought to fear. Ought to have reverence for. And so first of all tonight, why could Nehemiah say, I have full confidence in Him? Why could he say that? Because Hanani was fearful in his walk. Let me give you real quickly a few things about this fear, and specifically his fear. First of all, it was an excellent fear. You see what the Bible said? We read it there in verse 2. We've already read it a couple times. And feared God, what's the last two words? Above many. It was an excellent fear. It was an excellent reverence. And by the way, I believe that's when he says he feared God above many, that, you know what that tells me? That tells me that Hanani had a respect for God's Word. That tells me that Hanani knew God's Word. That tells me that Hanani wanted to be submissive and obedient to God's Word. He was fearful in his walk. And so Nehemiah says, look, I'm going to leave you in charge of Jerusalem. I have full confidence in you. He had an excellent fear. Secondly, he had an exercised fear. He had an excellent fear. Secondly, he had an exercised fear. Fear will guard us from evil. Fear will guide us to obedience. You see, the fear that I have of ever disappointing my wife keeps me many, many times from doing that which is wrong. I don't want to disappoint my wife. I don't want to disappoint my God. I don't want to disappoint my children. I don't want to disappoint my church family. You know what fear does? It guards us from evil. Fear guides us to obedience. It guards us from evil. It guides us to obedience. By the way, we're not too far away from it. Can we go to the book of Job real quick? Fear will guard us from evil. Would you look at Job chapter number 1? He had an excellent fear. He had an exercised fear. That means he put it into practice. Fear will guard us from evil. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that what? Feared God. And because he feared God, what did he do? The Bible says he eschewed evil. That word eschewed means that he stayed away from it. That, if you want a good way to remember it, it means he shooed it away. That's not necessarily what it means, but that's a good way to remember it. He stayed away from it. He fled from it. He kept himself as far away from it as he possibly could. By the way, the Bible says that he did the same for his children, that he would have sacrifices for his children in case his children sinned. That's how much he wanted to stay away from evil. Look at verse 8. Job 1, verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Job, verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now remember, this is after he's lost his family. It's after he's lost his possessions. He hasn't lost his health yet, but he's getting ready to. He says, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Why? Because he was a man that feared God. He was a man that feared God. And what does that fear do when we exercise it? It guards us from evil. Secondly, it guides us to obedience. Look there in Nehemiah. Let's go back to Nehemiah, if you would, and look at chapter number 5. It guides us to obedience. Again, the Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? It's the beginning of knowledge. Later in Proverbs chapter 8, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Fear will guide us to obedience. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 5, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But notice this, but so did not I. Why? Because of the fear of God. Because of the fear of God. You know what it does? It guides us from evil, but it guides us to obedience. Nehemiah said, all the governors before me, they didn't obey God's word, but I did. Why? Not because I'm some wonderful person, but because I fear God. Not only does it guard us from evil, it guides us to obedience, but it grants us God's mercy. An exercised fear will guard us from evil. It will guide us to obedience. It will grant us God's mercy. Let me read you a verse. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 31, verse number 19. The Bible says, Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Not only does it guard us from evil, it guides us to obedience. It grants us God's goodness and God's mercy. He was fearful in his walk. He had an excellent fear. He had an exercised fear. And then thirdly, I want to see this. It was an experienced fear. And I want to get, and we don't find it necessarily in Nehemiah 7, but I want to show us an example. Could you take your Bibles and go back to the book of Exodus? Exodus chapter number 18. An excellent fear, an exercised fear, and then thirdly, an experienced fear. And what I mean by that is it makes us able. It gives us the ability. Notice what the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 18, beginning in verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Experienced. Able men. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. How are they able? Why are they able? It tells us. Such as do what? Fear God. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Experience. You know what fear does? It makes us able. It makes us experienced. It makes us trustworthy. It allows people to put confidence in us because we have shown it in our lives that we fear God, and thus other people have confidence. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 18, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God. Notice this, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. We know this is Moses. His father-in-law comes and he says, Moses, you take way too much on you. You're killing yourself is what he's saying. You're listening to the problems of all these people and you're judging between all these problems. You need to find some able men who are able to help you. And what was the first characteristic of an able man? It was a man that feared God. So number one tonight, why could Nehemiah say, hey, Hanani, I have full confidence in you. Why could he say that, number one? Because Hanani was fearful in his walk. And then let me give you number two. Because Hanani was faithful in his watch. Look back at Nehemiah chapter number 7. He was fearful in his walk. Secondly, he was faithful in his watch. In his watch. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. What does that mean? They needed to be opened when? Not during the night, right? But when the sun was hot. Later in the morning, when the sun's been up for a couple of hours, when everybody can see what's going on, when we can see for a distance outside of those gates, and we can see people coming, then you open the gates. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them. And appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. Nehemiah could say, I have full confidence in you, Hanani, first of all, because you are fearful in your walk, the way you live, the way you act, you reverence Jehovah God. But number two, Hanani, I have full confidence in you because you are faithful in your watch. You see what he said in verse 2? He said he placed them over the charge of Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, for he was a what? Faithful man. He was faithful in his watch. We see, first of all, tonight, we see the charge that was given to Hananiah, the charge to watch. The charge to watch. Let me ask us tonight, God has given us the same charge. He's given us a charge to watch. He's given us that same charge in many different places in the Bible. In the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the watchman. It talks about the fact that the watchman is to be on the wall, and if the enemy's coming, the watchman's supposed to let everybody else know. And if he doesn't, then the people that are killed, the blood will be on his hands. But the Bible says if he does sound the trumpet, if he does let them know that the enemy's coming, then he's free. Then he's free from any blood. He's free from any condemnation because he has done his job. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the gospel records, Jesus Christ specifically speaking to His disciples, He says, watch and pray. He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but what? What else does He say? But the flesh is weak. And that's why He says, watch and pray. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible tells us to be sober, to be vigilant. That's the idea of watching. To be sober, to be vigilant. Why? Why are we to be sober and to be vigilant? Because we have an adversary. Because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Number two tonight, Nehemiah had full confidence because he was faithful in his watch. You know what Nehemiah knew with Hananiah in charge? Wasn't going to be a whole lot of foolishness going on. Wasn't going to be a whole lot of nonsense going on. Those gates were going to be open when they were supposed to be open. Those gates were going to be closed when they were supposed to be closed. The people were going to watch when they were supposed to watch. He understood that Hananiah was going to bring the people together, as the Bible says in verse number 3. He says, appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, what does the Bible say in verse number 4? There weren't that many of them. There weren't that many people to watch. The Bible says, now the city was large and great, but the people were few. But the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. They didn't have their houses built yet. And he leaves Hananiah there in charge of all of these people, and Hananiah is supposed to take these people and set them in watches, appoint them in different watches around the wall. And Nehemiah says, Hananiah, I have full confidence in you because I know you're faithful in your watch. I know you're not going to be playing games when you're supposed to be watching. I know you're not going to be checking your social media when you're supposed to be watching. Jonathan was telling me, we were on the van this evening, he was telling me he and one of the guys he works with, they went into a restaurant, a fast food place for lunch today. And he said it was really weird, Daddy. He said the counter, it was almost kind of like a bar. They have the kiosk where you can do your own order. And he said they really don't take that many orders at the counter there. And he said the counter was like a charging station. And he said all of the workers had their phones and their devices on this counter right in the front where everybody sees it, charging. He said it was weird. He said it was unprofessional. And you know what? When I think of Hananiah, Hananiah is not going to be doing any of that nonsense. When I think of a man like Hananiah, I think of professionalism. I think of somebody who's going to do it right, and he's going to do it right the first time. He was faithful in his watch. We see the charge to watch. Why has God given us a charge to watch? First of all, because there's an enemy at the gate. There's an enemy at the gate. Hey, parents tonight, some of you in here tonight, you still have little ones in your home. Some of you in here tonight, you don't have kids in your home anymore. Some of you in here tonight, you may have older kids in your home. By the way, I'll say this. I think it's 10 times harder when you have teenagers in your home than when you have little ones. I just say it's 10 times harder. With all the what I mean by that is with all the stuff. With all the stuff that's going on and all the media and everything and it's just there. And you're trying to control it and you're trying to watch and you're trying to guard. And all the devil needs, and we've said it so many times, all he needs is a little crack. And he's going to slither in. Why do we need to watch? Why does God charge us to watch? Why did Nehemiah charge Hanani? Watch! And not just you watch, but you need to set and you need to appoint all of the people to have their own place to watch. Why does God charge us to do that? Because there's an enemy at the gate. Secondly, because there is evil at the gate. Those two are synonymous. They're not really that different. There's an enemy at that gate, and that enemy is bringing evil. So we have a charge to watch. Hannah and I have full confidence in you. I'm placing you in charge of Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because he was faithful. Excuse me, fearful in his walk. He was faithful in his watch. Just like Hannah and I, we have been given a charge to watch. I'm going to tell you tonight, sometimes it can become a little daunting, can it? Hey, even if you have little kids in the home, it can become daunting. Because whether they're little, whether they're older, you constantly have to be on guard. What they're seeing, what they're hearing, it's constant. You know it as well as I do. Look, commercials. Wicked. And before you know it, something has come across that screen and you look at your spouse or even look at one of your teenage kids and you say, did I just see what I thought I saw? And they look at you like, yeah, Daddy, that's what you thought you saw. Wicked. And we have to watch. The charge to watch. Why does God charge a pastor to watch over the flock? Because the enemy's at the gate. Because evil is at the gate. You look at churches that have let the enemy in. It's sad. We see a charge to watch. Secondly, we see a city that needed to be watched. There was a charge to watch, but secondly, we see there was a city to watch. The city was vast. The Bible says now the city was large and great. The city was vast. The city was valuable. But the city was vulnerable. It doesn't matter what your city is tonight, it's valuable. Isn't it? Your city may be that little place of property that you're going to go home to tonight. That's your city. That's valuable. But can I tell you tonight, doesn't matter whose city it is, it's vulnerable. Nehemiah knew that. We've rebuilt this wall, the temple's rebuilt, but they haven't even built their houses yet. The people are few, the city is great. It's vast, it's wide, it's great. And the Bible says in verse 4, but the people are few. And sometimes your city, how big it is or how small it is, it doesn't matter. Sometimes it seems enormous, doesn't it? And God has given us that charge to watch it. God has told us, hey, I've given you those kids. I've given you that church. I've given you that spouse. I've given you this business. Whatever, I've given you that to watch. To steward. Here's a better question tonight. We said at the beginning, could someone say, I have full confidence in you? But let's take it a step further. Could God Almighty say, I have full confidence in you? Simply because we're fearful in our walk and because we're faithful in our watch. We see the charge to watch. We see the city to watch. And then thirdly, this is what we've been talking about the whole time, the confidence. The confidence that Nehemiah had in Hanani and Hananiah. They were chosen because Nehemiah had confidence in the fearfulness of their walk and the faithfulness of their watch. Is that us tonight? Are we fearful in our walk? Again, I'm not talking about we're cowering in the corner all the time. That's not what I'm talking about at all. We're reverent before a holy God. And every single day we get up and we live and we walk and we go to our jobs and we live with our families and we speak with our friends and our acquaintances. And every single day, no matter what we're doing, we're living in fear, in reverence of a holy God. Listen, dear friend, I said it a moment ago, but I live the way I live first and foremost in light of the God who's done everything for me. But I will also say tonight, I live many times the way I live because I don't want to disappoint my wife and my three kids. Because I have reverence for them. By the way, I live the way I live because I don't want to disappoint my church family. Because can I tell you, I have reverence for y'all. I don't fear that any of y'all are going to do any harm to me. But I reverence you. Because I reverence people, I love people who come Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, day in, day out. You just stay faithful. I appreciate that. I don't ever want to do anything that's going to bring shame to this place and to the body of believers that meet here on a weekly basis. He was fearful in his walk. He was faithful in his watch. Whatever that watch was. For them, it was watching over probably the greatest city of all, the city of Jerusalem. But you know, whatever city God has given you, it's great. He's given you a family, it's great. He's given you a marriage, it's great. He's given you a business, it's great. He's given you a ministry, as we talked about Sunday night, it's great. We have to constantly be watching. When we're tired, When you're fatigued, when you just don't feel like doing it, got to keep watching. Hey, the city is large and great, but the people are few. I imagine many of those people spend a lot of sleepless nights watching the walls of Jerusalem because there weren't that many of them to have just a few to keep the watch each night. No, I imagine probably just about every one of them had to keep watch every night. But they were faithful. Hananiah, I have full confidence in you. Why, Nehemiah? Because you're fearful. And because you're faithful. Father, help us tonight. Help us to be people who are fearful. Help us to be people who are faithful. Fearful in the way we live every day in light of the fact that we live for you. Boy, we ought to have a reverence for you that exceeds any reverence that we have for any other person. It ought to be preeminent, as Colossians 1:18 says. Then, Father, help us to be faithful, trustworthy, dependable, true to the facts, every day, day in, day out. When we're tired, when we're rested, when we feel good, when we feel sick, Father, help us to be faithful in our watch. Father, help us to be individuals that those people who know us best can say, I have full confidence in them. I have full confidence in them to watch my kids. I have full confidence in them to teach this Sunday school class. I have full confidence in them to be a good influence. Father, that may that be able to be said about all of us tonight. Father, please give us safety as we go to our homes. Father, please, in these next few moments, I pray that you would intercede on our behalf as we go to prayer. Father, I pray that you would hear us. I pray that you'd incline your ear toward us. Father, I pray that you would answer. Father, we'll give you the glory and praise for all of it, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed tonight. We have as much time as we need, but please do stay and pray if you can tonight. It's about 3 till. And let's pray for some of these requests that were mentioned tonight. But you are dismissed.